Praise the Lord. That was good. I like that. And I'll tell you, what a blessing. What a blessing it is. Easter Sunday. And it's good to be in church. Good to see you out there today. And what a passage. We were, Tim said that it was 20 verses. And Don looks over and says, all 20, huh? I said, just nowhere to stop. It was hard to stop at verse 20, but we had to stop somewhere. And anyway, praise the Lord for that. You know, we don't like death. I don't like death. I was talking about in Sunday school. Funeral services, you know, I just don't like them. And I spend a lot of time on them and everything and try to make them special. It's a great opportunity to talk to folks about Jesus, but we just don't like death. It is a nasty thing. I always tell funeral directors, I say, I would hate to have your job. Because that's what they deal with all the time, just constantly. And but you know, death has kind of an arrogance about it. Don't you think? I mean, death it has sort of an arrogance that I've got the last say. No, death doesn't have the last say. Not for the Christian. Death doesn't have the last say. In fact, my Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" You know, that's the thing that bothers us about death. It has a sting to it. But God's taken the sting out for the Christian, amen. Oh grave, where is thy victory? There is no victory of the grave over the Christian because we're coming out of there, amen. And that's not the end. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this season is all about. Amen. And don't miss that. Whatever you do, don't miss that over some chocolate or eggs or anything like that. It's all about death being defeated when Jesus came out of that grave and death could not hold him. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray you bless our time now, that you'll speak to our hearts, give us what we need from your word. I pray that you'll help me to say what needs to be said. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts. And if there's anyone here who's not saved, that today would be the day they would come to Christ. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're pretty fired up about Jesus rising from the grave. At least I am. Some of you need to tell your face that it's okay. But I'm excited about death being defeated. I'm excited about life being the victor. I'm excited about Christians and how death will not win over us. But verse 12, it says this, "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" How do some people say there's no resurrection of the dead? By the way, there's a group in the Bible that believes that way. There's a lot of people believe that way, or should I say, don't believe the right way. Should I say, don't believe. But there is a group called the Sadducees, and I like what one preacher says, that they don't believe in the resurrection. Now you can see why they're sad, you see. Amen. And you would be sad. By the way, I'd be sad if there was no resurrection. I'd be sad if the grave was the end. I'd be sad that the last thing that I was involved in was being put underground. I'd be sad that if that was the end. I'd be sad if I had to go to hell and knew that was going to be the future. Isn't it wonderful to know? For the Christian, it's not like that. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you ought to get saved. I'm telling you, Easter Sunday would be a great day to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. In fact, it says in verse 19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." In other words, praise God, we have hope of an eternal thereafter in heaven on streets of gold in a perfect place with a perfect body and a perfect eternal life. Amen. And if all we had was what's on this earth, we'd be very, very, very miserable. But you know, throughout time, there have been resurrections. And according to the Bible, there are several resurrections. And I want to actually talk to you about that this morning and tonight, about Bible resurrection. Something to be excited about. You know, death has no grip on the Christian. Death has no victory on God. And God, who is the creator of life, is the one who has conquered death. Amen. And you need to understand, we're talking about God. We're talking about something that God does when he resurrects the Lord Jesus Christ, when he resurrects others in the Bible. We're talking about a God who is the one who gives life. We're talking about a God who, hey, you know, scientists, and Brother Williams, he was really messing with getting into my message today, and when he preached last week. But honestly, you know, scientists can create, for example, they can create a seed. And they can put everything into that seed that makes up a seed, except one thing that only God puts there. What's that? Life. Life. You know, I believe scientists are going to be able to eventually make a man as far as the structure and everything. I mean, we have robots that are very close to being like a human being. And there will be many things that until if the Lord tarries, that scientists and engineers, they'll be able to build a body pretty much like a body really is. But they're going to miss out on one thing. You know what that is? Life. Amen. And if they do give it life somehow, could you imagine how big it'd have to be to carry the batteries? Well, it'd be pretty much like, well, anyway. But either that or it'd have to have a long extension cord to be plugged in. Amen. I mean, honestly, the fact of the matter is, God gives life. Why should we be shocked at a resurrection? Why should we be shocked that that which is dead can have life? We shouldn't be. And that's exactly what in verse 12. How say some among you there's no resurrection of the dead? We're talking about God here. How could anybody think there's no resurrection? By the way, how could a Christian ever wonder about that? You know, how could we even imagine that there is no resurrection when God Almighty is the one who gives life? Nobody else can do it. I mean, you can go out here and get you a big bunch of clay and mold it into the shape of a human, but you can't give it life. You can't give it life. Only God can do that. And so I've divided this message into two parts this morning and tonight. I want to talk to you about some Bible resurrections. Turn to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. And we'll start on the ones for this morning. Ezekiel 37. You're going to like this. Bible resurrections. And every one of them shows us some different things about the resurrection. And the one thing that to me is the best thing, and that is death is defeated. Amen? Death is defeated. Since the wages of sin is death, praise God, the wages of sin, that is defeated when Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Number one, Ezekiel 37 and verse 1, we see here the corruption revealed. Ezekiel 37, 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And by the way, there's death. Amen. I mean, that is death. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. You know, that's like people today. We look around, we see a world that is a mess. I'm talking about spiritual death is all around us. I'm talking about people don't believe. People don't want to hear. People are they're spiritually, they're dead. And it's all around. Hey, do you ever wonder, God, can they live? You know they can. You know they can through Jesus Christ. They can live. And that's what Ezekiel says here. He says, oh Lord God, thou knowest God, whether they can live or not. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And he tells the man of God, preach to the bones. Amen. Preach to the bones. You say, that's a strange thing. You know, pastor and preacher, sometimes we kind of wonder if we're not just preaching to bones every once in a while. But we'll move on. And he said, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Now listen to me. We read that and say, oh, good night. That's amazing that God, hey, we're talking about God. We're talking about God who gave life to man. We're talking about God. He said, I'll cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live. Amen. Can you imagine Brother Caleb preaching to a bunch of bones and saying, hey, my God says you're going to live. Can you imagine? I mean, you're preaching and the bones are just there. And I mean, they're just a pile of dry, dusty bones. Hey, you're going to live, bones. You know what? That's our message to a world that is dead in trespasses and sins. And that's our we look around and we say, wow, you know, the world is just going such a far direction from the things of God. And the world is just dead spiritually. And it is. Hey, don't be discouraged. God said he can give life to those bones. God says he can give life where there's death. And praise God for that. And I love this. Verse 6, and I will lay sinews upon you, bring up flesh upon you, the muscle and the tendons, all of that. He says, I'll cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. And at the age of 17, that's exactly what God did to one, this one, who was dead in trespasses and sins. And God gave me life from that death. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. And here, of course, is a picture of the result of Israel's sin, which was death, and God resurrecting them to return to their land. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. By the way, that's not popular. I don't know how you would ever preach an Easter message without talking about it. Can't have resurrection if you don't have death. You know, it's amazing how folks will talk about, well, we'll make you feel good and everything else, but you got to talk about death. If you're here without Christ, the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Wages of sin is death. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners here. And the condemnation is death because of our sin. You say, preacher, it's Easter. You ought to talk about something happy. Listen to me. It has nothing to do with a bunny. It has nothing to do with a bunch of chocolate eggs. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has everything to do with the fact that mankind is dead because of sin, and Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin, and He rose again so that we could be saved and so that our sins would not cause us eternal death. There's no hope without God. And so here in this valley of bones, we see the corruption revealed. Death and its corruption. And these are bones. The flesh and substance had rotted, or animals and birds had eaten it off, and they were dry bones. There was no hope without God. There was no future for a pile of bones without God. And He told the man of God, preach to him. Preach to him. And God says, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Promise of God. And God breathed into me life, eternal life, when I trusted Him as Savior. He said, ye shall live. You say, what are you so excited about, preacher? I shall live. As Jesus Christ came out of that tomb, I too shall live. You here today who are saved, you're born again, you've trusted Christ, you shall live. Oh, the doctor says I'm sick. The doctor says I'm going to die. And you know what? It's appointed unto man once to die. But when you trust Christ as Savior, you shall live. And this old body may die, and this old body may be buried, and this old body may rot in the ground, but I'm going to live. And my Bible says I'm going to get a new body, and it won't have glaucoma, and it won't be challenged. Amen. And it won't have asthma. Glory to God. And it'll be able to run, and it'll be able to get up without going, oh. Amen. Some of you can identify with it. Some of you, I don't know if you can identify with anything. I'm worried. Hey, the corruption revealed. Death is nasty, but life is great. Praise the Lord. And He who is life has provided a way to escape the corruption of death. Amen. Can these bones live? Can the dead rise? Verse 8, when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. Preacher's preaching and things are happening. Amen. By the way, that's the way it ought to be. When there's preaching, things ought to happen. And the Bible says that the flesh came up upon them, the skin covered them above, there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them. They lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Wow, wouldn't you like to see that? That's good stuff. I'll tell you what. Hey, can the dead rise? Of course they can. Have they? Yes, they have. Will it happen? It sure will. Glory to God. And when you get saved, when you trust Christ, though you're corrupt in your sin, listen to me, God has defeated death. And that corruption. Number one, the corruption revealed. Number two, the condition reversed. And I love this. I love it. Look at this. Romans 5. Go to Romans. Romans chapter 5. We're moving along. Amen. Oh, okay. I'll just add. I got a lot of points. I'm just adding them tonight. I can tell you're excited. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. You see that? It passed upon all men. Passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. And it says in Romans 6 and verse 23, I quoted a little while ago, it says, for the wages of sin is death. And the result of our sin is death. And the payment for our sin is death. And because we've all sinned, we deserve death. And death in the Bible is talking about a place called hell. It is a separation from God. It is not heaven. It is not here on this earth. It is hell, fire. It is death. It is not a pleasant thing to talk about. Oh, preacher, it's Easter. You're going to make people mad. I'm telling them the truth. Let me tell you something. Does your doctor make you mad when he tells you the truth? I don't know how many doctors have made me mad. Usually when they say, you're fat. I'm like, I'll never come back to you again. But the truth of the matter is, I know he's telling the truth. Hello? Amen. You know, first time somebody said, you're bald. I didn't necessarily appreciate it. But it was the truth. Hey, you know what? It's time folks hear the truth instead of hearing something that might make them feel good. Amen. I mean, honestly, the truth of the matter is, it ends up really good. You sit here and say, oh, he's telling me I'm a sinner. He tells me that I'm not. You know, who's he think he is? He's trying to get you saved. That's what he's trying to. He's trying to tell you your condition according to God's word. It is death. It is hell. It is because of our sin that it is like that. But I mention this because the condition is reversed. Look at Romans 6 and verse 8. And I love this. Romans 6, 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Hey, that's talking about how that he died for us. He paid the price for us. And because he lives, we also shall live. Matthew 28, verse 6. Matthew 28, 6. Again, okay, the condition is death. Okay, because of my sin, I deserve to be punished in hell. I deserve to die. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for me so that I wouldn't have to die. And because he lives, I can live too. Matthew 28 and verse 6, the Bible says this. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Oh, there were many, many witnesses that saw him after he rose from the grave. There were many, many witnesses. In fact, there were Roman soldiers that knew that he rose from the grave. And they said, hey, we better make up a lie about this thing. We better tell a lie about this thing because we don't want people to believe any. Look at Mark 16, verse 6. Mark chapter 16 and verse 6. Boy, these are good, good verses. You ought to write them down. I'm telling you, the condition has been reversed. Mark chapter 16 and verse 6. Right at the end of Mark. It says, and he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And there are many, many verses. I just picked out a couple of them. John chapter 10 and verse 17. And the Bible says here, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. You hear what Jesus said? No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. John 11, 25. I love what he says. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Acts 2, verse 23, it goes on. And in the book of Acts, the resurrection is what kept the people going. Amen. And the resurrection is what they preached. It's what they believed. It's what encouraged them. It's what kept them fired up. It's what helped them to turn the world upside down. It was the resurrection, the preaching of the risen Christ. Hey, at night when their loved one was taken off to prison or maybe executed, it's what kept them rejoicing. It kept them happy. It kept them going for God because they knew this isn't the end. Hey, you know, it might help you to get a shot of the resurrection. Amen. And to get excited about it, Acts 2, verse 23, the Bible says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Amen. And back to our passage that we read in 1 Corinthians 15, it is the gospel, amen. This condition, this reversal of the corruption that we have because of our sin, it is the gospel. It says in verse 4, "He was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Verse 3, "I'm sorry, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Verse 1 says, that's the gospel. Gospel means good news. Goodness. Yeah, I get tired of Christians being pouty. I get tired of Christians being down and discouraged. You know, hey, gospel is good news. Why don't you dwell on the gospel a little bit? Why don't you think about what Jesus did when he died and was buried and rose again? And how, because of that, instead of death, I have life. Eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven forever. Why? Because he lives. Because he lives. Number one, the corruption revealed. Number two, the condition reversed. Number three, another resurrection. And we'll learn about the confidence restored. 1 Kings 17, familiar story in the scripture about Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17. Did I tell you need to have your Bibles today? Should I have to? 1 Kings 17 and verse 17. "It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore there was no breath left in him. She said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" This is the widow of Zarephath, and you recall the miracle that God did with the oil, and how she has seen God work through his man Elijah. And now she says, "Hey, performed a miracle and it saved my son's life, but now he's died. Are you coming to call my sin to remembrance?" He said unto her, "Give me thy son." He took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth, and the confidence is restored. What was her concern? Her concern was, "Man of God, have you come to get me for my sins?" Let me tell you something. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins are gone. They're gone. Hey, son of man of God. Hey, listen. What is this? Is this punishment? Let me just show you. My God can raise him. My God can raise him. You know, the resurrection verifies that our sins are gone. They're gone. As far as the east from the west, they're removed from me. Buried in the deepest sea. They're gone. You know, it amazes me how so many Christian people struggle with this thing. Struggle with, hey, the resurrection is proof. It's a verification. Your sins are gone. They're forgiven. It's done. It's over. Back in 1 Kings 17 and verse 24, the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is" what? Truth. Truth. What you said is true. You know, Christian, you need to grab hold of the resurrection and understand, because he lives, everything God says is true. Our sins are forgiven. They're gone. They're gone. I mean, gone. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 15:17, back again into the passage that we could have read all of it. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." But look at verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead." What's that mean? That means that our sins are gone. They're gone. Lord, remember when I... He said, "No, I know. I don't remember that. I don't remember that." You know, I'll tell a lot of times about how things were before I got saved and different things that I did. And sometimes I'll counsel a young person and say, "You know what? I've done that. You don't want to do it." And I'll talk about that. And sometimes I'll say, "Lord, you remember when..." And I stop and I think, he doesn't. You know why? Because it's buried in the deepest sea. It's as far as the east from the west. It's gone. And you know, the confidence is restored in his word. Christian, grab hold of his word. The resurrection screams at us. He did what he said. He does what he says. That's how I can stand in a cemetery and I can preach, or I can read a passage, or I can sing Amazing Grace, or I can pray and I can read the passage in 1 Thessalonians. That's because it's very real to me. Why? Because I know it's true. I know it's true. I know God keeps his word. Number one, the corruption revealed. Number two, the condition reversed. Number three, the confidence restored. Number four is the controversial requirement. Oh, somebody's not going to like this. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4. But it is in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 17. This is the Shunammite woman. God blessed her and gave her a child. And now 2 Kings 4, verse 17, "The woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. When the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. He said unto his father, 'My head, my head.' And he said to a lad, 'Carry him to his mother.' When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, 'Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again.' And he said, 'Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath.' And she said, 'It shall be well.'" She believed. She trusted. And here her child is dead and she's running for the man of God. Verse 25, "She went, came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. It came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?' She answered, 'It is well.'" Her child's dead, but it's well. Because God's going to take care of it. Hey, let me ask you a question. Is it well with you today? You sit here today lost without Christ. It is not well for you. It is not well for you. Hey, Christian, is it well for you? "Well, I'm kind of worried about this and worried about that." You don't need to. You don't need to. You're wasting a lot of worry. Is it well? She said, "It's well." Why? Because God's going to take care of me. But the interesting thing about this story is this. Verse 29, "He said to Gehazi, 'Gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand. Go thy way, if thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child.' And the mother of the child said, 'As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.' And he arose and followed her." And so he sends his assistant Gehazi, Elisha sends Gehazi to lay his staff on the dead child. The Bible says, verse 31, "Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, 'The child is not awake.'" Didn't work. He said, "Didn't work, Elisha." But notice what Elisha does. The Bible says he came into the house. Behold, the child was dead, laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. Doesn't say Gehazi prayed. He went up and he lay upon the child. He put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child. The flesh of the child waxed warm. And he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and he stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed seven times and the child opened his eyes. And there's a resurrection. But I want you to understand the controversial requirement here is this staff that Gehazi took was a symbol, symbolic of religion, but religion can't give life. You see, Gehazi's heart was not right. We find that out just a little bit later on. He had a love for money, and his love turned to a lust, which turned to lies, which turned to leprosy. And Gehazi was very religious, and he had a religious item in his hand, but he did not have the power of God in his life. Religion alone cannot conquer death. You can be as religious. Hey, we could baptize you till you shrink up like a prune. I mean, you can be wrinkled like a grape. Like a grape. They're not wrinkled. Like a raisin. That's what I was thinking of. Grape would be, well, anyway. Look, listen to me. We don't need more religion. We need more truth. We need more power of God. People don't need to be religious. People don't. You can come join our church. You could be a, you know, you could be a member for years and years and years and be lost and die and go to hell if you don't have the power of God to conquer death. That's what we need. Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. What kind of power? It's power to raise the dead. And Gehazi and all his religiousness came and he took the staff and he lays it on the child and nothing. And I submit to you that over and over and over and over again, religion is laying its staff upon the dead, the sins of mankind, and it's doing absolutely nothing. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, I want to join your church. You must be born again. Well, I want to get baptized. For by grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Well, I'll just do this and I'll do that and I'll just be religious and I'll join a church and I'll go through all the motions and I'll go through catechism and I'll do this and I'll do that. My Bible says you need the power of the resurrection. You need to trust Jesus Christ. You need to call upon the Lord to come into your heart, forgive you, and save you. And when man uses religion without the power of God, the result is just what Gehazi found. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. But Elisha has life. Life begets life. You know, it's amazing how God uses us. And I watch Elisha here and how he puts his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, hands upon his head, or on his hands. And literally life brings forth life and how God uses us. Those who have life can spread it to those who don't. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to tell everybody. We're supposed to go ye into all the world. Because life brings forth life. You see, God uses us not to spread religion, but to tell people how to receive eternal life. It's a controversial requirement because there's religion all over the place. And in spite of that, look at our world. Hello? I mean, there's religion all over the place in America. And in spite of that, look at the morals of America. Look what's going on in our country. It's changed. There's huge groups of people saying, well, we shouldn't say in God we trust. By the way, they shouldn't, because they don't. One nation under God. Well, we need to remove that. That's not right. It's hard to believe people would say that. Just wasn't that long ago, and everybody, I mean, ball games and everything else. God bless America. Boy, that's a mockery today in just a few short years. But we have religion all over the place. We've got more churches, mosques, temples, it's everywhere. But I'm telling you, it's not religion that's going to change this thing of death. It's the power of God. And that power of God is available through His Son, Jesus Christ. The controversial requirement in our day. And it could not be more clear than, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me give you the last thing. Number five is the confirmation recorded. 2 Kings chapter 13 goes on another little story about Elisha. And I like this. 2 Kings 13 verse 20. And I believe it is the confirmation recorded. It's a confirmation that the power of God through the Word of God is what we need to be proclaiming. 2 Kings 13 verse 20. Elisha died and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming end of the year. And it came to pass as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. I wonder what he was thinking. Can you imagine? A prophet who preached the word. The word that is alive. You know, Hebrews 11 verse 4, it says about Abel, it says, he being dead, yet speaketh. God's word is alive. God's word has power. It's not just a form. We don't read the word of God just to hear ourselves read. We don't read the word of God hoping it's like a magic potion of some kind or incantation of some kind. We read it because it is alive and it is powerful. And it changes lives. And it changes death to life. It's the Word of God. And Elisha here, we see a confirmation of the power of God. Hey, it wasn't Elisha that raised the dead. It was God using Elisha. It was God empowering His people. It's God empowering His people today if they want that power. That's why we need to preach the Bible. It's power. Amen. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You don't believe me? Just go out here and start talking to a group of teenagers about the Lord. And they think, oh, that guy's weird. What's wrong with him? You know, these people are strange. I guarantee there's somebody sitting here right now. Ah, that guy, what's he talking about? It's foolishness. I understand that. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. It really is. And just like this fella, they take this dead body, they throw him down into that sepulcher, touches the bones of Elisha, and boom, life. Life. Because God's word is alive. It's living. And God wants you to have that life as well. You're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. You can be saved today. As I was saved when I was 17 years old, I realized I was lost on my way to hell. I realized that because of my sins, that was my condemnation. But I realized Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And I realized if I called upon Him, He'd come into my heart and He would save me. And He would give me eternal life. And I have that life now. Praise the Lord. And I'm preaching it to you as the prophets did of old. And it's the power of God that takes you from death to life. You say, well, will I feel anything? Doesn't matter if you feel anything. God says it's true. It happens. It really does. 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power. His power through His word. And that's why we preach His word. That's why we give out tracts. That's why we tell everyone. You know, again, it's just like Elisha. Life begets life. And God confirms the power of His word by His prophet. I love that little story there, just kind of buried in the Bible, about a man whose body is thrown into the sepulcher of his prophet and comes to life. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony of God's word. Hey, you hand out a gospel tract, you don't know where that thing might go. You know, somebody says, maybe I'll read it, maybe I won't. You don't know what's going to happen. It's the word of God. Hey, I can tell you this, in your pocket, it won't do anything. In your purse, it won't do anything. On our track rack, it won't do anything. But as we give it out all across our area, it has the potential of somebody's life being changed. And they'll pass from death to life because they trust Jesus as their Savior. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Five stories of resurrection. How could anybody deny it? And there are more in the Bible. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, I am saved. I have trusted Christ as my Savior. If I were to die right now, I know for sure that I'd go to heaven. I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. I know I'm saved." Would you raise your hand as a testimony? I'm the only one looking. Nobody else. How many say, "I'm saved. I know I'm saved"? Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven. I've not trusted Christ as my Savior. I don't know if I died that I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me." Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm the only one looking. Nobody else. I just want to pray for you. We won't embarrass you. We won't come and get you. I promise you that. You say, "Please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven." Anyone? Pray for me. Pray for me. Just slip up your hand. Anyone at all? How many would say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian, but God has spoken to my heart as a Christian. God's dealing with me about something. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? All over. Just slip it up. As a Christian, I'm saved. God's speaking to me. Thank you. Father, bless the invitation. Have your will and your way in our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. 280, 280. God's speaking to your heart about a decision you need to make. Do not hesitate. As we sing, if you need to come, you come.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Say on the portal, he's waiting and watching, watching for you.
Any others need to come? God's speaking to your heart today. If you're not sure you're saved, we have folks here that would be glad to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're already a Christian, but God's spoken to you about something today, is it well? Should be. Can be. God's speaking to your heart today. You need to come. Folks are praying. Folks are coming. Decisions are being made. You come as God leads.